They don't want cash around because it's one of the places we can actually have freedom. In other words, me and you can exchange without them knowing, and they cannot stand that.
Exactly right.
So I was going to ask you, well, let me get to that part of the report. Like I said, you got to read the Morgan Report for yourself. There's a free newsletter. David says he does some blogs and some videos and so on. But the depth that he goes into, I didn't even mention what else is in this report, and I better do it before we run out of time. In the Morgan, I'm just doing the opening remarks. This stuff is so full of value that I was just blown away by it. But he also has company updates on the companies they're talking about and investing in. There's a blockchain brief in this particular report. There's a portfolio review of his current investment allocation, asset allocation report. There's letters to the editor, so you could even write him a letter and get some response to if something is nagging in your brain. There's links to his books and the affiliate marketing. It's a comprehensive, well-thought-out, very, very informative report. So check out themorganreport.com. And consider subscribing. I think this is another truth teller that you should be on your radar. Okay. The idea has come up that the vaccine for COVID will be the way the new system is implemented. And again, the vaccine, mandatory, question mark, does seem to be the best fit to basically lock down the planet from a financial economic perspective. Yet the amount of resistance to being shot by Big Brother, Big Pharma, has received multiple forms of expression. You know, I read that and I was glad you said there'd been some pushback, but then, okay, I'm just gonna tell you what it's like around where I live. I live just north of New Orleans, a little town called Mandeville, Covington, Mandeville, a little suburb of New Orleans. And, David, we have a governor who's crazy about COVID. He loves the stuff and he loves masks and he loves dictating to people what to do with their lives. And I would have thought we're supposedly in the most conservative parish. Our counties are called parishes, the most conservative parish in the state. I would have thought there'd been more people giving him the finger than anywhere else in the country. And yet, when I say it's probably 95 to 97% compliance with the mask and with all the stupid mandates, I'm probably understating the case. I'm not sure people are going to object to being vaccinated.
No, you're right. The vast majority won't. I mean, I don't know how much, well, you know, Franklin, but he wrote that book, Highland. And in that book, he talks about basically what I think the future holds. And he goes into that there'll be the remnant, and they're probably going to not take the mark, whatever you want to call it, the vaccine or a mark or a chip or who knows. And I think there'll be multiple things. But regardless of that, the idea is sound, and you're going to have to extract yourself from that system. And you're going to have to go out and be agrarian and work with your community. It's going to be, and, you know, that's the best case. I mean, the other case is, you know, what Marxism has always done and other ideologies, and they just wipe out the people that don't agree with their philosophy. So it's a choice. It's going to be, and it's not going to be, oh, I took the vaccine, my mistake, I've taken a mark. I don't think that's viable. I think you are absolutely going to know. You are or are not on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I dare not even go into this because you say yourself that you did a report a few months ago that was controversial. And I find this current report not just, I don't think it's controversial. I just think it's very illuminating and very exciting, exhilarating to have someone speaking it this clearly. I just so rarely see it. But what was the report you did a few months ago that caused controversy, David? It sounds like you already stirred it up enough. You did one more than this one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, as things have gotten tighter and tighter, I've, exposed more of my personality, you might say. I was commissioned to do a study on the Mark of the Beast, really the financial system. In the end times by a gentleman named David Havner, who's putting a movie together called The Last Evangelist.
Okay.
And so I sat down 2 months ago and I thought, well, do I or don't I? And I prayed about it. And I said, you know, I'm going to let it rip. I did get some people that were so angry at me, they quit their subscriptions and that. There were a lot of people that also said, geez, you really, you know, didn't know that much about you. We thought we, you know, we kind of, you hinted at it or whatever. Thank you for letting us know. So it went both extremes. And of course, there's always a lot of people in the middle. So I had very few that, you know, I had some that just hated it and some that loved it and a lot that were like, okay, that was another report. And probably, and I said, I'm probably not going to go this deep again. But that was the most controversial one I've done in 22 years of publishing. And I'm glad I did it. I don't have anything to hide and I think people ought to know. But the essence of it, I just said, a lot of people think that, they aren't going to know, or that it's not very, it's not going to be like there's a red light beeping on and off and you put your hand under and you get the mark, but it is going to be obvious, and there will be, and they're going to pave the road in a way that makes it very alluring. That's what that report was about. It's going to say a lot of things that I'll call it the right wants. This is my view. I could be wrong. But a lot of things that we don't like right now get turned around and like, okay, well, we've settled down on the supply chain and we're taking care of the poor and we're doing all these wonderful things and it looks really, really good. And in order for you to get your universal basic income from now on and be safe and secure in your new cubicle that's paid for and run by the state, you never have to worry about a rent payment, and you get free medical care and your education is taken care of, all you have to do is sign this little piece of paper and say that man is your, you know, is your God. You had to exempt God and go with man. And that's who your, you know, allegiance is. Is your allegiance to man or God, as I said earlier? And I don't think it's going to be anything but crystal clear. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to work or need to work or whatever. I'm willing to sign my soul away, because the problem is people don't understand. This is my opinion, folks, please, because I don't know. But my strong opinion is that they don't know that they're giving up their soul until it's too late. It sounds good, but they don't realize what they're really sacrificing. It's a lot deeper than just this life. There is something beyond this. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. That's okay with me. It's just if you're, you know, if that's the case, you better be right.
Well, I think that's an excellent summation, David. I'm talking to David Morgan. You're listening to the True Money Show. This is David Simpson, 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. I'm with you on every bit of that. I haven't done the extensive analysis of the mark of the beast. Of course, I've done my studies of eschatology and the end times type of things, but not that specific. But I'm with you. It sure seems like it's all lining up to say, look, you know, you got to have this thing. We have all these health scares that go around. We have national emergencies. We have weather emergencies. And we're just going to be able to care for you so much better if you just have this thing, whatever that thing is. And boy, all you and like you said, you're going to sweeten the pot too. Boy, you're going to be able to get your food easier. You're going to be able to get your health care easier. You're going to be able to get your, you know, that tax income check back, your tax return check back. All this stuff they're going to say, and everybody's going to go, it sounds pretty good. And I think it's just so crazy, but I really believe it could happen. I think you're dead to rights. So that's what stirred up the nest. Now, well, I've always said this, guys. You'll know this. See, so David Morgan was willing to lose subscribers because he said, this is more important to tell the truth. And that's the mark of someone who is honest. You know, some people are willing to kind of sway around a little bit because they go, hey, the money issue is a little more important to me than the truth issue. And you always got to watch those guys. But if a guy says, no, I can take a financial hit over this because it's more important, it's just a telltale. You know, it doesn't absolutely say that David Morgan's the most honest person in the world, but sure is one mark. And I bet you're going to find others as you're reading more and more. Okay, so I better do some silver, David, or else they're going to hang me, because I know all my listeners. So I'm always telling people to make a regular purchase of some hard currency just to keep adding to their portfolio. And ever since I've been talking to Franklin, of course, we've been emphasizing silver over gold because of the ratio being out of whack and thinking silver's the better buy at the time. So I found this, and I really want to ask you this question because it's one place that I think I even vary from Franklin on this one. So you say all currencies, they're going crazy with the printing of the money and the keeping the interest rates low and all this other stuff. You say they all fail. And they must fail, and therefore they all fail against gold. So in our view, the best hedge for currency risk is the money metals themselves. So am I wrong? I invest in silver for this reason only. I want it to be emergency money for me. In other words, I have no intention of ever selling when it goes up. I don't use it as an investment. I literally am holding it as like emergency money when the greenback doesn't work. I think Franklin's telling me, and I think he's told me pretty explicitly, no, David, if it gets to a certain level, like if the ratio got down to 16 to 1, he goes, then the metals are way topped out and everything else is a better buy. You should liquidate those metals and buy something else. I'm thinking, what else would I buy, though, at that point? So what is your take on that? Are you a hold forever guy? Are you really investing? Are you playing it around? How do you deal with it?
Well, at the top, I'll probably do both, but it's going to be extremely difficult because you don't want to sell it into fiat, and then the fiat absolutely does go to zero the next day.
Correct.
The best thing I think I could give to your listeners is this. I wrote an investing rules book. I was asked as the silver expert to write the 10 rules of silver investing. So if you go to any search engine, you can just type in 10 rules of silver investing. Scroll down past the ads and see one that links to the Morgan Report. So here's rule number one. When all else fails, there's silver. No one wants to be a prophet of doom, but the simple truth is that silver is the world's money of last resort. Should a severe economic collapse occur, leaving paper assets worthless, silver will be the primary currency for purchases of goods and services. Gold will be a store of major wealth, but will be priced too high for day-to-day use. Mm-hmm. Thus, every investor should own some physical silver and store a portion where it is accessible in an emergency.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great advice. So I'm not too far off the mark. I guess I could conceive of ideas where I start letting go of my silver for something else. I mean, you can't eat silver. You don't want to sleep with it. It's not that warm. I could see myself obviously divesting myself, but I really think of it as emergency money. But you're right. If it topped out, I'd be stupid to go, okay, I'm not going to go buy real estate if it's open to me. But then again, I would never want to trade it for the intermediary dollars. The dollars are the things I've been trying to avoid the whole time.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to do it, first of all, I think you spend your silver. For example, you still can create contracts in this country. And so you could say, for an example, buy 10 acres of land for 200 ounces of silver, as an example. Sign up the contract, get it notarized, bang, you're in. So now you didn't have to go through the fiat system. The landowner sold you land, you wanted that, he wanted your silver, and you're done. And there'll be more and more of that as you work through the report. I've been associated with this crypto that's silver backed, and that is a possibility to use in the future, where you could take your digital wealth and turn it into physical coins and have it mailed to you anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And you can also spend it at the same time. And I plan to do both. But when you have a debit card, it's transparent to the merchant. So when I go to Walmart and I buy some underwear and sheets for my, bedroom, I just give them the debit card. They don't know I'm debiting that silver out of my account. All they know is it went through the banking system and they could care less. And I like it that way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you mentioned that. I forget. Was it Load? I forget the name of the.
Yeah. Yeah, it's AG, for the symbol for silver, AG.Load, L-O-D-E .O-N-E. I know, folks, it sounds like a weird URL, but these days you can have almost anything as a URL. So it's the symbol for silver, AG.LODE.ONE. That's the address.
So that's essentially a commodity-backed crypto.
Correct.
All right. And then you mentioned, I wanted to bring this up because people are looking for solutions, David, you know as well as I do, and I hate not giving solutions. Everybody talks to the problem, and we got some brilliant guys talking to the problem, but boy, we need some answers now. and that's what the Crusade Channel is always trying to be, the solutions network. So you mentioned another thing I wanted to kind of bring up, this Zenus Bank. Have you done any due diligence on that, and you think that's something worthy of looking into?
I think it's worth looking into, and it's not up and running yet, but I would definitely put it on your radar because this is the way the system's going to go. There aren't going to be bank buildings anymore. Oh, there may be a few, but if you eliminate cash, what are you going to go to the bank for?
Right.
And if your check, you can already take your check and take a picture of it and deposit it and throw the piece of paper away. It never gets into the bank. You never mail it to the bank anymore. I mean, you can't. I still do because I'm so old school, but you can deposit a check with a, and so everything's going to go. So there won't be physical banks anymore. I mean, there may, again, may be a few. Oh, David said there wouldn't be any, and there's one left in my town. Well, there's three left in the country. Okay, I'm wrong. I think you get my point. They're going away.
Yeah.
It's going all digital, and you're going to have to be tracked, traced, and taxed. There's no way out. If you have a garage sale, you're going to have to do it over your phone. And when you sell that, you know, used broom to somebody that wants it for, you know, 12 cents, it's going to be tracked and traced.
Well, I'm about to invite David Morgan into the Crusader Coalition that I haven't even formed yet, and we're going to come up with some solutions out of this. I don't care if it's black market, parallel economy. I don't care what we call it, but we got to find a way out, Dave. I don't want to be in that nightmare you're describing.
Yeah, well, I think there are going to be solutions. Again, I refer to Franklin's book, Highland, and I used to give it out on some of the speaking circuit. I invented a Silver Summit here in Spokane. It's now in San Francisco, and it's just a couple times I just brought a couple cases, and I gave them out to my subscribers. And basically, at the end of the day, I kind of gave it to whoever wanted it, and as a passerby at the trade show booth. But you know, this scenario I think is pretty accurate of where we could be going. No one knows the future, but really, I think if you want, you know, what's some sound advice from me as a human? Well, number one is be spiritually fit.
Yep.
Number two, one of my favorite memorized quotes is chance favors the prepared mind. If you're mentally and spiritually fit and you realize what is happening, and you may not know it exactly, no one does, but you're mentally prepared that we're not always going to be able to buy bananas. We don't grow any in this country. Everyone takes for granted they can buy bananas dirt cheap anywhere in the state.
Right.
And that's true. But will it always be true? And the idea that sound money, as much as I'm an advocate for it, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get everything you want, because we've always brought, or I'll speak for myself, sorry. I was of the belief that if you had enough money, you could do anything, right? You could go on vacation, you could buy a house, you can, you know, leave your job and wave at your boss and all this stuff. So money represented freedom to me. Financial freedom meant freedom.
Yeah.
That's no longer true.
That's correct.
Because you could have all the money on earth, and if there's no beef available and you want a steak so bad, you'll give up 2 ounces of gold for a steak dinner, but it doesn't exist, then you're not going to be able to buy it. So I just want to be very clear that I'm pretty, you know, my head's screwed on pretty well for the money question, which I've been looking at since I was an 11-year-old kid.
Right.
But there's a lot more behind the money question that we have really touched on over and over again today. And thanks for reading the report. I've never had anyone do that before. And it looks pretty good from my perspective.
No, David.
Sorry if that sounded egotistical. I didn't mean it that way.
No.
But it's kind of nice to bat it back and forth. I do put my heart and head into these things. I really do.
Well, David, I mean, are you willing to come back on? Can I tap into you more than once a year here? Because there were, let me think, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there were 4 or 5 more highlighted and red underlined sections that I didn't ask you, because I said, I got to get to something on silver or else they're all going to kill me. And then I told you guys there are company updates in this report. There's an asset allocation thing. There's, oh my goodness, I mean, it goes on. I think it's 20-something, 30 pages. I don't know where. There's advertisements for his book, and I'm not saying just go buy his book. What I mean is, you can, if you get the report, it's very easy to buy the book if you get interested in it. David Morgan has done yeoman's work on this report, and looks like by the way, is this a monthly? How often do you do this?
Yeah, I do that much work every month. It's not just me. I do have a staff, but it's not very big, and I'm very blessed. God has been very good to me, the people he surrounded me with. And, you know, I'm a pretty big believer that you reflect out and draw back what you get. I'm not a new ager, like, you know, whatever that is, the secret or whatever. But I do believe that if you do right by others, you usually attract people that are similar. And I've certainly been blessed that way, and I'm very grateful for it.
No, well, you definitely, I think you exude that. And it was one of the things I got in talking to you, and I appreciate you you coming on the show, is you're just trying to be honest and fair and straightforward with somebody. And like you said, when you do that, I think the people will go, wow, this is a guy I want to talk to, at least a good-hearted person. We believe in men of goodwill, humans of goodwill. If you're one of those people, we want you involved in our fight. If you have bad will, we kind of want you around, because you're going to nag us to death. So we deal with it straight up that way, too. David, I'm going to have you back on the show. I appreciate you coming on, and I hope I didn't take up too much of your time. But you listen to David Morgan on the True Money Show. You can find him at themorganreport.com. I'm going to have him back. Maybe we can flop him and Franklin back and forth, and then we'll become fast friends through the interview process too, David. And then maybe one day we'll actually meet face to face. What an idea!